Welcome back to RDU. Today we've got the privilege of being joined by nothing short of a legend amongst jazz contemporaries, performer, composer, arranger, and educator. Our guest today is a teacher throughout New York University and the New School for Social Research, writer for Modern Drummer, resident artist at the legendary Smalls Bar in New York, also frequent collaborator with sort of a who's who in jazz today, including Kenny Werner, Chris Potter, Kurt Rosenwinkel, Joshua Redmond, Pat Martino, as well as New Zealand own Matt Penman. He's also shared the stage with artists such as Herbie Hancock, Ivan Lins, Wynton Marsalis, Toots Seelmans, Dave Holland, Joe Lovano, and Jerry Mulligan. Ari, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
You got it. My pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
So I understand you're currently in Melbourne on the tour there with your trio?
Yep, we're in Melbourne tonight. Yeah, for the next couple nights, playing with my trio tomorrow night, and also quartet in Sydney the next night. Back to Melbourne, and then we come to New Zealand right after that.
Yeah, and it's a very tight schedule. I mean, you've already mentioned how many shows that you're playing in Australia over these next few days, and then it's basically straight into it, playing Wellington a couple of nights in Auckland, then Christchurch.
Yeah, it's very tight. You know, it's like the way that we like it, but I like to be able to, you know, to meet people and visit around a little bit too.
Yeah, for sure. So how have you come to sort of deal with being on the road, open quotes, I suppose you'd put it, and just coping with that travel as well as practicing when you're obviously not bringing your own drum kit with you? And that
I'm not really practicing on the road. Although there's ways that I can practice without a drum kit, which actually is the way that I practice most of the time.
Right.
Sometimes if I have space in my luggage, I'll bring like a pad. But I think more often I don't do that. I don't have enough room, so I didn't bring a pad on this. But you know, practicing for me is, you know, I have my, you know, all four of my limbs still, luckily, intact, and my brain is fairly intact, although you know, there's been slight damage over the years. Kids will do that, but with those five things, you know, that's really all you need to practice rhythm, coordination, and hearing things that I can't hear at the moment. And so, you know, I go forward in that way.
Right. It does come a lot to the process of practicing is, yeah, just going through that, the mental arithmetic as much as anything. Just that transition into the instrument, especially with being able to visualize, becomes an easier thing, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, it's some of that, but it's also really just the coordination with the four limbs and being able to do what I'm telling them to do.
Right, for sure. And definitely as a drummer more than anything else, I can imagine.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the struggles of dealing with large instruments, and can only imagine being able to take your instrument around everywhere like a reed player or a horn player.
Right. Well, I don't mind not traveling with instruments at all. I mean, that it would be very difficult, and I'm happy to, you know, to play what's there and to try to make music out of, you know, whatever I get, and, you know, depending on what it is. But I have ways that I can deal if the quality of the instrument is, you know, not as good as I'm used to, and that's okay. Right. That's all a fair game on the road as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. So tell me more about sort of the setting which you're going to bring into your New Zealand concert. So you're just bringing Nitai Hershkovitz. I hope I said that right.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah. We're awesome. Nitai and I are going to play in duo format. Which I've been really wanting to do with him for a long time. And right. He's going to play keyboards and he may play some piano. And we're going to do some of my music, and we're going to do some standards and some music that we've written together as well.
Right.
It'll be the first time that we've that we've performed in duo actually in New Zealand, but we're going to do it throughout, you know, throughout the whole country. And Christchurch is going to be our last stop. So we will have it, you know, we'll probably be tighter there than anywhere else. So it should be the best, yeah. Really. He's a very special musician to me. And I feel like I really communicate with him very directly and very quickly in a musical way. And, you know, which is extremely rare for me, you know, to find that.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it very much.
And do you find yourself sort of changing what you do within the context of duos? Because I've noticed that you've got a number of different projects which you do duos with, such as Chris Potter and Edmar Castaneda.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, do you find yourself sort of changing how much you're doing and how you interact as compared to a trio setting or even going up to your non-tet sort of work?
That it changes due to who I'm playing with? Duo?
Yeah, well, just the context of duo music as compared to
the trio.
You know, going as much as, yeah, trio or quintet or non-tet when you've got just more instruments to fill that space in the music, as it were.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, my general approach musically doesn't really change, you know, due to like how many people are playing. It changes, the language changes due to like who I'm playing with, I guess. But, you know, every situation is different, and every group I play with is different. But I don't really have to like tell myself here I'm going to play this way, you know, for instance, I just did a tour with Billy Childs Quartet for about a week, and you know, my playing in that situation was, you know, completely different. And then I did a gig with Jeff Keyser and Larry Goldings, and then, you know, you've probably seen, you know, some of the schedules. I'm doing things with Yotam's Quartet too. We're playing tonight.
Yeah.
And so it's always different, but the similar thing is that I'm really able to trust my instincts and really just, you know, play what I feel is called for in the music. So as long as I'm kind of going from that as being the starting point, you know, all the differences, you know, don't really seem that necessary for me to think about. Sure. I mean, I just go in, my MO is play musically, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And give and play, you know, giving of myself, of my ideas, and, you know, obviously, you know, be respectful to, you know, what I'm hearing. So, you know, that stays the same.
Yeah. I suppose I've noticed that within your music as well, such as with your latest album, like Magician and the Pauper. Yeah, even in that larger setting, sort of the space that each of you allow for each other and just that communication going on a deeper level was something I really enjoyed to it. Yeah, I've seen as well from just general interviews, other interviews and other material, that you do put a lot of emphasis on, yeah, your rapport and your connection with musicians. So sort of your connection with the likes of Kenny and Chris Potter and Matt Pemmon, you sort of put that a lot higher than the fact that you've played with some of the great, like the greats and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm glad you noticed that. Yeah. And I mean, and to be honest, I would even go further with that. And I would say, you know, all of the bands that I play with, you know, I mentioned Natai and Orr Barraquette and Orlando Le Fleming and Galad Hexelman and Shai Maestro and Tavon Pennicott. Johannes Weidenmuller, you know, these are the people that, you know, that I really have like, you know, core relationships with, that, you know, have helped form the way that I play.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, it's more notable to talk about them than, you know, the people that are, I guess, more known, just because they're known. I mean, Chris Potter and Kenny Werner, even though I think they are well known, I also have strong connections with them. And Jean-Michel Pilk as well. So that's why I mentioned them more than, you know, somebody that, you know, that I spent little time with that, you know, that is well known. So, and I just think that's the, you know, the credit should be given in that, in those cases. You know, when somebody writes a bio, they just say famous people they've played with and not the people that they have actually, you know, that actually matter to them, through their music, you know? So.
Yeah. Right. Another notable thing from your bio is your list of the sort of bigger names that you've shared the stage with and how you finish it off with, although I got kicked off the stage by security shortly after. Is there a story which goes with that?
Not really. It's just a little bit of a tongue in cheek.
Ah.
I guess what I really meant by that is that, you know, these are people that you would have heard of.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I can name drop, but, you know, it's not, they wouldn't be first on my list to tell you, you know, who I'm about.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. That being said, were there any sort of really notable experiences amongst some of these players and performing with them that has sort of stood out to you, at least from an offset, sort of like the idea of working with Herbie Hancock and Wynton Marsalis, like to many of us just seems like something totally out there sort of thing.
Well, with Herbie, I played a concert with him at Carnegie Hall. And we played, it was a Toots Thielemans gig, and it was his birthday celebration, and lots of heavies. But I got to play a trio tune with him and Scott Colley. We got to play Dolphin Dance, among other things, with bigger, you know, bigger groups. And that was definitely very memorable, also because it was Herbie, but also because it was Carnegie Hall at the same time.
Mm. And just the big celebration that I suppose the concert would have been in general.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't even really know the difference because I'd never playing in Carnegie Hall anyway. So,
right.
But it was sold out, and you know, so I guess that, you know, that was, yeah, it was pretty overwhelming. You know, a nice experience anyway. And I thought it was, you know, strong musically too.
Another point which I sort of noticed is that amongst some of your more frequent collaborators, the likes of Nitai and Orr and Gilad, there's a lot of guys coming out of Israel, which you're collaborating with a lot. What have been the points about that you've noticed that, you know, these guys are definitely a trend in your music, you could say?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think they put something in the water in Israel. And somehow it makes them understand my music and what I'm playing, my language. It's, you know, it's really completely by accident. I mean, for example, like when I first got to New York and I started playing with Jean-Michel and François Moutin, two French musicians, and by playing with them, I got to know other ones, and I started playing a lot of gigs with French musicians, not only in New York, but lots in France, like for instance, Baptiste Trottignon and Boyan Zed, and just a lot of projects that were, you know, that were kind of based there. So I don't know if it's, you know, if, I mean, I guess this kind of started with me playing with Gilad Hexelman a lot.
Right.
And then from him, I guess I met quite a few other Israelis, but I actually really want to say that I don't think that it's really due to just the connections than it's just due to me hearing somebody and really liking them.
Sure.
But I think it's, you know, it's both, to be fair. So like somebody like Shai Maestro or Natai Hershkovitz, like those guys would, I mean, they're really the absolute best people that I could get to play with me, you know, and to play my music. And Gilad, I mean, there's really no second thoughts, you know, with that. But they all are Israeli. It's true. But I think there's a really strong scene coming out of Israel right now. It's they've done something with, you know, jazz where they've really learned to master it. And I wouldn't say everybody. Right. But there's definitely, among a small amount of people that are there, you know, a lot of them are very, very good.
That's definitely exciting. And also just looking at the work coming out of the other musicians coming out of Israel, the likes of Avishai Cohen, Gilad, and, you know, I could go on with the names, most definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you hear it too, and you see it coming out too. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Have you, really noticed a difference in the way that sort of people of different nationalities play? So, I mean, you've already mentioned that you've done a lot in French sort of settings as well, and with French musicians. I mean, I sort of think back to Matt Penman, just being one of New Zealand's larger claims to jazz. Just people coming from different areas around the globe. Have you observed in your works with them sort of a difference in play style and that sort of thing?
I think it was more apparent 20 years ago without you know, YouTube and the way that people learn now. So what you would see sometimes is, you know, similar influences among people from the same place. For example, there's a pianist in France named Marcel Solal, who is a older generation, and I've seen his influence in, you know, multiple people that are, you know, especially pianists that are French.
Right.
Nowadays, it's much harder. Like, you know, you hear Matt Penman on the radio, like, you immediately pick out that he's from New Zealand? You know, probably not. I think it's more and more difficult to be able to do that, really.
Sure.
I think it's probably, but there's still little similarities. It's a very good question that I don't have a very good answer for. Like, for example, I don't trust my ears enough to, that you could tell me, you know, you could play me 10 musicians and I could pick out where even one of them is, where one of them is from. I probably would be wrong, but you know, maybe not. Maybe there'd be little clue-ins in certain things, but I think it's really more about in this day where everybody's sharing, you know, art through the internet, and it's really more about the individuality and what people are into. I mean, there's definitely stylistically there's certain trends that happen in certain places that I see. For example, like if you go to Iceland, like, you know, you hear a jazz band that's from there and based there, and then you got to think that, you know, they're going to have a lot of like free, quote unquote, free jazz elements in their playing, you know? Hmm. And so I definitely see those kind of trends. But it's, you know, it's difficult to really know.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, and
it would also be the case in, for instance, Vermont. I could even take it state, you know, state by state, you know, in the U.S. Right. 50 states there. that you could do that, but you're just kind of going on like assumptions and the majorities and you know what you've seen, what I've experienced there. So I would be more often wrong than right, I think, that if I made those kind of guesses.
Yeah, for sure. Understandably enough. I suppose, yeah, there's some things which are easier to observe in those settings than others. So sort of you could definitely walk into a jam session in one area of the world and another and observe, oh, these guys are trending towards different standards sort of thing.
Yeah, that would probably be the easiest way that I could – yeah, that I could hear it too, is by, you know, by listening to the way somebody played standards.
So coming back to your limited time that you have here in Australia and New Zealand, are there any acts or anything in particular that you're looking forward to being able to do or see while you're in this part of the world?
Any acts? You mean like from the festival?
Yeah, well, for Melbourne Festival or coming down for the Wellington Jazz Festival or even just seeing parts of New Zealand or Australia.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward. I'm looking forward to obviously all my, you know, my gigs. But aside from that, let's see, what is it? On the 6th, I'm coming back to Melbourne from Sydney, and we'll play a concert kind of in the late afternoon, and then I'm gonna get to see Tigran, who's a good friend of mine. And get to hang with him that night and get to see him play solo. And then another thing that I'm looking forward to besides the the two gigs in Wellington, the one concert in Auckland, and of course the last concert in Christchurch, is that I have a night off or a day off and night off the next day in Christchurch, which I've chosen to take that day there. So I'm looking forward to kind of stretching out and seeing what I can, you know, what I can do as a tourist. Mm. Inquired a little bit about kayaking, but I was told that it's probably the wrong season because it's pretty cold. But even so, you know, certainly would try to do something, you know, fun and educational or whatever that day. Mm. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, undoubtedly, there's a lot that you can sort of explore in and around Christchurch and within an hour or so drive. So that should definitely be a good time, and I'm sure there'll be...
Yeah, maybe I'll meet somebody at the concert that's a tour guide.
No doubt there's listeners tuning in who'll be able to give some recommendations otherwise for what you might be able to check out.
That'll be fun. But I hope everybody's listening is able to you know, check out the concert. I think you won't be disappointed. Plus, there's a free giveaway, I hear.
Yes. So that will be coming up again later in the show. So we are giving away a double pass for Ari's concert for the earlier of the two set times, 7:30 p.m. through at Orange Studio on the 10th of June. And yeah, for anyone who has been through to Orange before, you know the great space that it is acoustically as well, and how intimate a performance venue it is, so definitely come through for that. We will let you know about the details for that giveaway shortly. Is there anything else that you want to sort of say for your audience here in Christchurch specifically, or otherwise in general out to whoever may be listening?
Just, you know, come up and say hi to me at the concert, you know, and please tell me one thing that you'd recommend that I experienced while in Christchurch. I would love that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for taking the time out to join us today, Ari.
Sure, Michael. No problem.
Awesome. And we'll see you through at Orange Studio on June 10th.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.